Good morning. Good morning. I really don't know what to say, but I feel we have to make mention of the fact that there it is again, the ugly anti-Semitism raised its head again in France yesterday. And here I read the paper this morning, I found out that this Rabbi Sandler, Hashem Yinkom Damo, learned in a kollel in Har Nof, and he went to France in order to teach Torah, but Nebuch, a father and two children, Ariel and Gabriel, Malachim, and a mother is left with one daughter and a family wiped out in Toulouse, France.
Well, also pregnant. She has a little baby.
Yeah. Nebuchadnezzar, then the yeshiva bacher who drowned yesterday, was not a good day yesterday. So let's hope, Mirtz Hashem, that there will be better days. Just one word about something that maybe we'll talk about at some point in the future. I was away last week because my wife took me away. Now, I don't take off just easily. I miss you people. But my wife had done it a year or two ago, and she said, I have to do it. Once or twice a year, the Bet HaRav, Rav Kook, they reenact what's called the Masa HaMoshavot. In 1913, Rav Kook and Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, who was the Rav of the Yishuv HaYoshon in Yerushalayim, together with a number of others, Rav Yaakov Moshe Chalap, a group of six, seven Rabbonim, began a journey to visit the Moshavot, to give them chizuk, to strengthen them, to make contact with them. Their agenda was to talk about Shabbos, chinuch. They have to have good chinuch for their children, and mitzvot hapluyot ba'aretz, truma, maisra, etc. And it was, I really don't know, we went for 2 days, in a nice bus, and we stayed in a nice hotel, Allah. But they traveled by horse and buggy, and on donkeys. It was in Cheshvan of 1913, and the rains began. They went through mud, plata, and they went to visit, what was Zichron Yaakov, Chadera, Merchavia, that is right near Afula, and then all straight through up to Tveria, Rosh Pina, Kineret, Vase, all the Moshavot then that dotted the Galil at the very beginning, at the very beginnings of the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. It was a fascinating, fascinating journey. It was something beautiful to experience, and I did already thank my wife for having schlepped me along on this trip. You know, when I had to get up early in the morning, last Monday morning, I thought, God, how did I let myself get into something like this? But it was a truly inspiring spiritual experience, and we'll see if we'll find a way to put it into one of the shiurim one of these days. We're starting today on the Haggadah. The Haggadah. And I'm going to pick up a theme that I started last year. Needless to say, the Haggadah is fascinating. You can keep learning the Haggadah for a lifetime and still find new things in the Haggadah. By the way, I have been doing that, and I do find new things all the time. We're going to look at the Haggadah first, and from there, When necessary, we will look at this second, this sheet. And I want to thank Phil publicly for having created these mini Haggadahs. And the mini Haggadah takes us from Holachma Anya and on the back until after Bechol Dor V'Dor Chayiv Odom Lido Tatatzmo Ki'ilu Hu Yotza Mimitzchayim. And I want to take the Haggadah in sections because I believe that the structure of the Haggadah is so calculated, it's planned, that there's rhyme to everything that appears in the Haggadah. Holachmo Anya Manishtana, after the four questions, it would seem as though the heart of the Haggadah begins. The son or whoever is present has asked the questions. If there's nobody present, the person asks himself. And the response is the rest of the Haggadah. Avodah Oyinu Lefaro B'Mitzchayim. We were enslaved in Egypt. God took us out of there. B'yod Chazoko Uvizroa Netuya, with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. The Ilo Otsi HaKodesh Baruch Hu Avoteinu B'Mitzchayim, would the Holy One, blessed be He, not have taken us out of our fathers out of Egypt? Then you should know it would have affected us personally. Now we're going to see that I believe that an extremely significant factor in fulfilling the mitzvah of the night is to see how it relates to me. And how it relates to me and to Klal Yisrael in the here and the now. The overall idea that I want to express is the following. A few weeks ago we gave a shiur about the Megillat Esther, and I said then at the beginning of the shiur, a famous bar from the Baal Shem Tov. The Mishnah at the beginning of the second parak of Megillah says, HaKorei et HaMegillah L'Mafreya Lo Yotza. Somebody who reads the Megillah L'Mafreya does not fulfill his obligation. What is the meaning of the word L'Mafreya within the context of that Mishnah and the Halacha? If you read it out of order, you read the latter before the former. You read chapter 3 before chapter 2. You read chapter 6 before chapter 3. You read it out of order. You don't fulfill the mitzvah. By the way, the same thing is true within one very self-same pasuk. Vayehi Achashverosh Bimei Esrin Medina Sheva Meo, whatever you do, if you read it out of order, you do not fulfill the mitzvah. Long came the Baal Shem Tov, who said, this was often quoted by the Lubavitcher Rebbe, that there is a Hasidic or another meaning to L'Mafreya. L'Mafreya meaning, you know, as though this is a story that happened long ago, once upon a time. Long ago and far away, okay? If you read the Megillah as though it's some story that happened long ago and far away, once upon a time, in ancient Persia, but has nothing to do with me today, you simply haven't fulfilled the mitzvah. You didn't understand the Haggadah. You didn't understand the Megillah. You know what you have to say when you're reading the Megillah? V'hi sh'on d'alavoteinu v'lonu sh'lo echad b'lfad omad aleinu l'chaloteinu elo sh'bechol dor v'dor omad aleinu l'chaloteinu. In every generation they rise up against us to destroy us, v'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Holy One, blessed be He, saves us from their hands. This is, of course, like everybody in their own days have to say, that this is most probably more relevant to us today than it ever was to the Jewish people at any other time in history. Here we're talking about somebody who has within his grasp the possibility of having the most awesome and frightening weapon ever known to man, And he promises to use it against Israel. He's going to wipe us off the map. It's unbelievable. Haman didn't have a nuclear device. Haman also didn't have 6 million Jews consecrated in the smallest country on the face of this earth. Also, but then of course there's another side. The other side is that Mordechai didn't have an air force, and Mordechai didn't have an army. But then there's another. The other side of the coin is that Mordechai and the major concentration of Jews was not in Eretz Yisrael. On the one hand, that seems as though that makes things far more difficult, but we're going to see that makes it much, much better. Because there are certain promises that God made with regard to the Jewish community in Eretz Yisrael. We got an iron dome over us. We got a big kippah. Not so much a kippah srugah, because we don't want anything coming through the holes in the kippah. This is an iron kippah, but we're going to show you from Tanakh and in the Haggadah. Just have patience. Have patience. Now, in terms of the structure of the Haggadah, the purpose of the Haggadah is to fulfill one mitzvah. The mitzvah that we fulfill is the mitzvah of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, to relate the story of the Exodus. That's the mitzvah, we'll see the Rambam soon, that's the mitzvah on the night of the 15th of Nisan, to relate, to tell the story. There is another mitzvah, and we're going to talk about that too, there is another mitzvah of remembering the Exodus from Egypt every day. Leman Tizkor, in Eretz, you should remember, Yom Tzeit Chomer, it's behind the day that you went out of Egypt, Kol Yemei Chayecho, all the days of your life. Two mitzvahs. One mitzvah is the mitzvah of Sipur, to relate, to tell the story in detail, and the other is to make mention of it and remember it. Every day of the week there is a mitzvah to remember that we came out of Egypt. The mitzvah on the night of Pesach is Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim. In fact, when you take a look at the Haggadah, the mitzvah of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim does not really begin with Avodim Hayinu Lefarad Mitzrayim. The mitzvah of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim begins, if you turn over onto the next page, you'll see it. On the right-hand side, first you have Mechasim et ha-matzot u'magvim et ha-kos. You cover the matzos and you pick up the cup. And then we have the paragraph, V'hi she'onda la'voteinu v'lanu, she'lo l'chad b'lvav omad aleinu l'chaloteinu ele she'b'chol dor v'dor, omdim aleinu l'chaloteinu v'akodish baruch u'matzileinu mi'adam. Now, one of the points that I'm going to make over here is that this is a pivotal paragraph in the Haggadah. Why? Because in fact the mitzvah of telling the story, which is the mitzvah of the night of the 15th, begins with the next paragraph. Say it aloud. Here is Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim. Say it aloud. Go and learn. Ma'bikesh Lavan ha'arami la'asot li'Yakov Avinu. What did Lavan the Aramean want to do to our father Yaakov? Shapar, although Gazer El Arazachar and Paro only decreed against the males. The Lavan Bikesh Lakur at Akol. Lavan wanted to uproot the Jewish people, the family of Yaakov entirely. Shene'emar. Here it begins. The halacha is, and we'll see that in the Rambam as well, that the mitzvah of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, as the Mishnah tells us, is Doresh, you study carefully, may Arami Oved Avi. Arami Oved Avi appears in Parshat Ki Tavo, in Sefer Devarim. At the beginning of Parshat Ki Tavo, it says that when you come into the land, and there are going to be first fruits, You're supposed to take the bikurim, the first fruits, and you're supposed to come to the Beit HaMikdash, and there in the Beit HaMikdash you are going to make a declaration. That declaration, which is called Mikra Bikurim, reading about the first fruits, what's the farmer supposed to do there? He gives a mini history of the Jewish people. Aram Yogadovi, Lavan wanted to destroy my father. Vayedid Mitzchayim, and he went down to Egypt. Vayogosham, and he lived there. The Mesemaat, there were just a few people, a small group of people. Vayisham, there he became Goy, Godol, Otzum, Verov, a great, a mighty people. And then we're going to dash in those few psukim that are said by every Jew when he brought first fruits to the Beit HaMikdash. He would really tell the story of the Jewish people, and he would tell the story of the Jewish people that it's his personal story. Achami Lavan wanted to destroy Mom Tata, Obi, my father. You understand? That's going to be the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. What's being done in the Haggadah from Avodah Maginu up until now, I think is very fascinating. You know, you know what's happening from Avodah Maginu until here, and watch, you'll see how it unfolds. We're being given instructions how to fulfill the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. We are being given directions. You know, the Haggadah comes with directions on it. How to use this Haggadah? How are you going to fulfill the mitzvah? And it's fascinating. Watch it. Back to Avodah Maginu. Avodah Maginu with Pharaoh Mitzrayim. We were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt. By Yitzchein, Hashem, Elikeinu, Yishom, and God, our God took us out of there. B'yad Chazok, L'ro Yitur. V'ilu, and if God, the Holy One, blessed be He, would not have taken us out of Egypt, we and our sons and our sons' sons would all have been the Shabbat and the Pharaoh of Mitzrayim. In other words, what took place 3,500 years ago affects me and my family personally. All right? And therefore, afilu kulanu chachamim, kulanu nevonim, Kulam was a Kenim, Kulam Yodim et HaTorah, even though we are all wise and we're all understanding and we're all I don't like the word old. We are all senior citizens. One was a Kenim. We get Kitzvat Zikna from the Israeli government, and some of us even get some Social Security. United States, Uncle Sam. Mitzvah Aleinu, here it's being established in this first paragraph. You should know there's a mitzvah, L'Saper B'Yitziat Mitzrayim. So the mitzvah is being defined. There's a mitzvah to tell the story of the Exodus from Egypt. Now, the goes on to say, V'Chol Hamada, it's the kind of mitzvah, you know, the more you can even fulfill the mitzvah l'nahadrin min ha-nahadrin, you can fulfill it by saying more and more about the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Hadeza Mishubach is praiseworthy. Now, the next paragraph in the Haggadah is going to give us an example of precisely the halacha that was said here. Even if we're Zakenim, even if we are elders and we're understanding, we're big Talmid Chachamim, we're Gedolei Yisrael, we are obligated to tell the story, and not only obligated to tell the story, if we choose, we can even add and elaborate and explain and expand on the Sipur, just as the story is told of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the Rabbi Akiva, the Rabbi Tarfon. Show you Mesubim in Bnei Brak. There it is. They were at a Seder in Bnei Brak. There you have it. You have Chachamim, Zakenim, Yodim HaTorah, and you know what they're doing? They are talking the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim all night. Achebo Talmidei V'Omer Lehem, until their students came and said to them, Rabbeinu, our rabbis, Hikiyas Man, Kriyat Shema Shel Shacharis, the time has arrived for the mitzvah of the reading of the Shema of the morning. All the Mefarshim asks various questions. It all add up to mean one question. What are they all doing in Bnei Brak? Bnei Brak was where Rabbi Akiva lived. And all of the others lived in different places. And they all seem to have congregated by Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Eliezer came from Lod. And Rabbi Eliezer even says that a person should not leave his home on Yom Tov. The same Rabbi Eliezer who said you shouldn't leave your home on Yom Tov is not in Lod, but he is in Bnei Brak. I think Rabbi Tarfon was someplace from the north. Before Rabbi Yeshua was from Sachna. They were all from all over the country. And here they are, they all joined together in Bnei Brak. So there are a number of approaches that are taken. Of course, one of those famous ones, and Soloveitchik brings it, and others bring it, was Darshanim, Rabbonim, Magidim, would say that what was happening that night, the Seder was being used as a cover for these conspirators to gather in order to plan the rebellion against Rome. Living under the tyrannical, cruel, brutal heel of Rome had become impossible for the Jewish people. It's 70 years after Churban HaBayit, 70 years after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, and Jews could not take any more the yoke of Rome. And they gather by Rabbi Akiva. Why do they gather by Rabbi Akiva? Because there was a quality that Rabbi Akiva had that was absolutely magnificent. I'm afraid, if I start talking about Rabbi Akiva, I'm going to go off into... But all right, let's go off. I had said recently at a family gathering, I'm not permitted to say what the family gathering was about or where it took place, but all right, it was a family gathering, so here you have all your... You can all be curious now, but it was a very nice gathering, it was beautiful. So I said the following. There's the famous Gemara. Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva had gone off for 12 years, and then another 12 years, and he comes back home with 24,000 students, and there's some woman there that's trying to get through the crowd in order to approach Rabbi Akiva, and they don't want to let I'm Isha. Well, so he sees this, he says, no, let her come. Sheli v'shalachem shelach. All that I am and all that you, my students, are, it's all shelach. It's all because of her. That was Rachel, the wife of Rabbi Akiva. You have to go one step further and see that most probably Rabbi Akiva's entire personality was formed by that woman. She was the daughter of Kalbo Savua. She was a woman from an extremely wealthy family, and this fellow Rabbi Akiva was a 40-year-old shepherd who was an absolute ignoramus, knew nothing. And well, most probably today they would say she fell in love. She defies her father. She's going to marry him. He tells her, "You're cut off from my will." But the pshat is, this Rachel had an awesome power. She was able to see the potential of this ignorant shepherd. She saw something about him that told her he has the potential of being a great Talmud Chacham. And she sent him off to Yeshiva. There's such beautiful stories that the Gemara says about how they slept in a barn, and he would take the straw out of her hair. She had the ability to see beyond the here and now. That became the hallmark of Rabbi Akiva. Famous Gemara, I don't know how many times I've said it, famous Gemara. The rabbis are walking on Mount Scopus, Haratzofim. They look down on the place of the Beit HaMikdash. They see wolves coming out of the Holy of Holies, and they begin to cry, and Rabbi Akiva begins to smile, and that exchange between them, why are you smiling? And he says to them, why are you crying? And they say, what do you mean, why are we crying? Take a look. Absolute total destruction, the Holy of Holies, where only the coming God was permitted to go in on Yom Kippur, and now there are faxes, shu all in Hil Chuba, and we shouldn't cry? And Rabbi Akiva says, that's why I smile. Because if the prophecy of destruction has been fulfilled so precisely, then I believe with perfect faith that the prophecy of Zechariah, where Zechariah prophesies that one day there will be the elderly sitting in the streets of Yerushalayim, young children will play in its streets, there will be traffic jams in that city because it's so crowded, and there's going to be a light rail that's going to take people from one part of the town to the other, and there are going to be 100,000 people Shavuos night at the Kotel, and there are going to be 150,000 the night of Yom Yerushalayim, and he tells them what he sees for the future. And then of course the end of the Sefer Makot, where this story is brought, says Nichamtanu Akiva Nichamtanu, you have consoled us, Akiva, you have consoled us. So my favorite Haggadah, the Leil Shimurim, written by the Orach HaShulchan, says that they gathered in Bnei Brak by Rabbi Akiva in order to express their gratitude to him because he lifted their spirits. That was the Koyach of Rabbi Akiva. He was able to pull a people back from the very brink of despair. That's why there's also another, the mission at the end of Masechta Yoma says, a great song, Amar Rebbe Akiva, Amar Rebbe Akiva, Ashreichem Yisrael, Amar Rebbe, you know the song?
Yeah.
Rebbe Akiva says, how fortunate you are, Israel, Ashreichem Yisrael, Lifnei Mi'atim Metaharim, who is it that cleanses you and purifies you? Before whom are you cleansed? Avinu Shabashai. But do you know what that mission is all about? It's the year after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. It's Yom Kippur. For hundreds of years, Jews look forward to the Yom Kippur, the service of the Beit HaMikdash, for forgiveness and atonement. And here comes a first Yom Kippur. No Beit HaMikdash, no Kohen Gadol, no service in the Beit HaMikdash, runes, nothing, just a few months after the Korban. And Rabbi Akiva tells them, Chevra, real purification comes before the Rabbein Sham. We're here, and the Rabbein Sham is here. He lifted their spirits. There's another medrash that says, Pan Achas once, Bikesh Ha'om Lihit Namnein, the people were going to fall asleep. It seems the setup of the Medrash is that Rabbi Akiva is in the middle of the Shia and people are beginning to fall asleep. That's not really what it means. Nobody could have ever fallen asleep at a Shia of Rabbi Akiva. Anyway, here it is. Rabbi Akiva says, Tanachas, the people wanted to fall asleep, so he said to them, let Esther come, who is the granddaughter of Sarah, who lived 127 years, and Esther is going to come and she's going to rule over 127 states. What does he mean? You know what he meant? The Medrash is saying, Bikesh Ha'om Litnanei, people were falling into despair. They just wanted to forget about it. Let's bring the curtain down on Jewish history now. Forget about it all. And finished. It's all over. Along comes Rabbi Akiva. He tells him, what are you talking about? What do you think it was like when Mordechai comes to Esther and tells her 127 states, there are people ready to wipe out the Jewish people. Wipe them off the map. So there, all of a sudden, this Esther, who you understand, who comes, who's a granddaughter of Sarah. Sarah's whole life was one big miracle. And that's also said by the Aruch HaShulchan, the Aruch HaShulchan HaGadah. In his introduction to HaGadah, he says, that, you know, in the natural course of things, physiologically, Avram was incapable of having children. Sarah was incapable of having children. And you know what happened? They had a child. It means that Yitzchak comes into being as an act of one great, awesome miracle. Now, do you think that God made that miracle for naught? Or he made that miracle so that after Yitzchak there would be Yaakov, and 3,500 years later, we're here. They still want to destroy us, and we're here. And we're going to be here long after them. Rabbi Akiva is the one who gives encouragement to the Jewish people. He is the one who's able to see beyond the here and now. He sees a churban Beit HaMikdash, but a Rabbeinu Shlomo who will accept our prayers and give forgiveness. He sees foxes coming out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and you know what he's able to see? He's able to see the streets of Yerushalayim full of life! Kiddush playing in the streets. God should watch over them, you understand? Watch over them from the drivers. They don't know how to cross the streets. I think he also saw the crosswalks. That's the way you're supposed to do it. I don't know. I even say, I don't understand. There are countless miracles in this city every day. For some strange reason, maybe it's, I don't know if it's in your part of town, but certainly it is in Hanover. People don't know that there was a reason why sidewalks were built. Lately, I've come to stopping my car every so often and rolling down my window. I'm sorry, that was a mistake. We don't roll down the windows anymore. We press a button instead. Press a button. Lamatalo! What are you doing here? They don't know what I'm talking about. Okay. They must think I'm a nut in Harnov. The important thing is that Rabbi Akiva had an awesome power to see beyond the here and the now. And he tells his students, do you know where I got that from? My wife, Ruchala, you understand, was able to look at an ignorant shepherd. Not only that, Rabbi Akiva says about himself that when he was the ignorant shepherd, if he would have met a Talmud Chacham, he would vote at him zerrissen wie a fish. He would have torn him apart like a fish. And take a look what she saw. Rabbi Akiva became, in a sense, in that sense, he became Rachel. He became his wife. He had an ability to see, and he was right. Rabbi Akiva was right. I told you my love of Rabbi Akiva. All right, to be continued. Maisa, what are they doing there? So according to the Aruch HaShulchan, what they're doing there is they are coming to express their gratitude to Rabbi Akiva, who has kept the determination to live strong by the Jewish people. Nichamtonu Akiva. Akiva, you have consoled us. Not only they feel that, what better of a place to be than with Rabbi Akiva? Right? There's a thought that's coming to mind. You know what they see when they see Rabbi Akiva? They see, Bechol Dor V'Dor Om Demoleinu L'Chavoteinu. They arise against us in every generation. V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzileinu Miyodam. And the Holy One, blessed be He, saves us. That was Rabbi Akiva's message. It's not over. It's not over. And it will never be over.
Right.
See, here we have. And then, of course, Rav Soloveitchik brings what Margidim say, that they were planning the revolt against the Romans. But you know what it depended on? These Zakenim were going to lead the battle, but who was going to do the fighting? You know who was going to do this fighting? The Talmidim. And you know what happened? They presented their plans to the Talmidim, the students, and it depended on what they would say. And you know what happened? They came in the morning, they said, Rabotainu, we agree with you. The time to read Shema in the morning has come. What does Shema represent? Accepting upon ourselves the heavenly yoke. Accepting the heavenly yoke means the removal of any other yoke. We refuse to carry the yoke of Rome, and we're ready to fight. Shacharit, the idea of the dawn of a new day has come. It all depends on the students, and they bring that great answer in the morning. Oh, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, Hare ani kiven shivim shana lo zachiti sheta'ame yitziach Mitzchayim balelot. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, I am like 70 years old, and I was not successful in proving my case that Yitziach Mitzchayim should be said at night. By the way, this is the last Mishnah in the first Perek in Brachot. And you know, interesting, I have to figure this out. The Mishnah, the Haggadah leaves out the beginning of the Mishnah. The first line of the Mishnah is, Maskirin Yitziat Mitzrayim Balelok. You're supposed to mention Yitziat Mitzrayim at night. We're shifting now from the mitzvah of Sipur, the mitzvah of relating the story, which is the night of the 15th, and we're not talking about the mitzvah of Zechirat Yitziat Mitzrayim, remembering, which Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says you're supposed to do every day. Until Ben Zoma came along and learned Shana, as it says, Laman Tizkar, in order you should remember at Yom Tzeit, you should remember the day that you went out of Egypt, all the days of your life. So the Ben Zoma said, Yemei Chayecha, the days of your life, those two words tell us about Hayom in the days. What's meant by Kol, Yemei Chayecha, Kol? Kol, Yemei Chayecha, Halelot, he says it means the night. So according to Elazar ben Azariah and Ben Zoma, you have to mention Yitziat Mitzrayim in the morning and at night. But the Chachamim say, Yemei Chayecha, Ha'olam Azeh. Yemei Chayecha means this world. Kol Yemei Chayecha, Lahavi Li'imot HaMashiach. No, the Chachamim say you don't have to mention Yitziat Mitzrayim at night, you don't mention it during the day. Laman tiska es yom tse kom eretz Mitzrayim. Kol yemei chayecha. Yemei chayecha means day. There's no obligation. Once in 24 hours is enough. And the kol means that even in the days of Mashiach. Let's take this sheet. The left-hand side, number one. This is the Gemara in Brachot on this Mishnah. The Gemara cites a brisa which continues the dialogue between Ben Zoma and the sages. The dialogue between Ben Zoma and the sages. Tanya, who was told in the brisa, Amalahem Ben Zoma, Chachom Ben Zoma said to the sages, V'chimaskidin, Yitzias, Mitzrayim, Li'imot HaMashiach? Will we mention the exodus from Egypt in the Messianic era? What did the rabbi say? The rabbi said, Kol, the word Kol means not only in this present era of history, but even in the Messianic era, we're also going to mention Yitziat Mitzrayim. So Ben Zoma asked them, wait a minute, in the days of Moshiach, you're going to mention Yitziat Mitzrayim? V'halo kvar nema. But there is a pasuk that says, listen to this pasuk. Awesome pasuk. It's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. And what's very fascinating about it is, this pasuk appears not once in Yirmiyahu, but twice. one in chapter 17 and the other in chapter 23. Listen to the pasuk. Hine yamim ba'im ne'um Hashem. Incidentally, this pasuk appears after a number of psukim that talk about the absolute and total destruction of Yerushalayim and the exile of the Jewish people, and right after that prophecy of doom and destruction, the Rav Yerushalayim comes in and he promises them great days are going to come after that. Hine yamim ba'im ne'um Hashem. The whole days are coming. This is the word of Hashem. V'lo yomru ol, they will no longer say Chai Hashem, Asher Hele Pnei Yisrael Me'aretz Yitzchayim. When people will no longer swear as Hashem lives who brought the children of Israel up from the land of Egypt. Do you know what they're going to say in those days? Ki im Chai Hashem, Asher Hele V'Asher Hevi Et Zera Beit Yisrael Me'aretz Tzafona Shom. You know what they're going to talk about? You know what people are going to say? They're going to swear by the name of the great God who brought up from the exile and brought the seed of the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all of the lands in which they had been dispersed. So, all right. So it means when you read very simply the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, it means that, it would seem to mean that you're not going to mention Mitzrayim anymore, the exodus from Egypt, because the exodus from Egypt will have been superseded by something that is going to be far greater. That God brings plunders go back to Eretz Yisrael. So what of Reben Zomer asks the rabbis, what are you saying? That in Yemot HaMashiach we're going to mention Yitzhak Mitzrayim? Amulo. So the sages said to him, Lo sheteyoke yitziat Mitzrayim imikoma. Yirmiyahu doesn't mean that the exodus from Egypt is going to be completely uprooted, discontinued completely. Elo sheteh shibud malchus ikka v'yitzias Mitzrayim tofelo. What it means is that when all those great events are going to take place, then the return of Jews to Eretz Yisrael is going to be far more significant than the exodus of Egypt. But both will be mentioned. The other will be
secondary.
Yitzhak Mitzrayim will be secondary. Well, what's going through my devious mind right now?
We're in that second stage now.
Are we not in the stage of what was said so clearly, as I said more than once, twice by Yirmiyahu? Should we not also be saying and giving thanks to God, Asher Hele v'Asher Hevi, who brought up and brought here Jews, Me'eretz Tzafona, Russia, Europe? Are we not in that period of time? I have a feeling that the Baal Haggadah brought this Mishnah of Reb Elazar ben Azariah and Ben Zoma precisely for this reason. It is Ben Zoma is talking about Zechirat Yitzhak Mitzrayim, not Sipur. But you know what makes this Mishnah so relevant to the Haggadah? What Reb Elazar ben Azariah and Ben Zoma are putting Klal Yisrael on notice. You better keep watching history around you as it unfolds. You may yet be zeichet to live in the period of time about which the words of Yirmiyahu were said. 64 years ago, you couldn't have said this. You understand what's it? You get? Could you have said 64 years ago, thank God, Hashem Hela, the Hashem Hevi, who brought from the lands of the north and from all of the lands where Jews are dispersed, he brings them to Eretz Yisrael and they settle in the land. That's how the pasuk goes on. Chabotai, we're living in this unfolding period of time. I don't know why I always God sends me ideas, you know, last minute. I always hope that on Monday night sometime I'll have this year. But no. So I decided when I came from school this morning to take a look at the Malbim. I'm in chapter 16. Yeah, 16. I have it. You don't have it. I'm reading. You know, certain sources I keep close to my chest, you understand? The ace. Malbim says the following. Chayhinei yamin boim, days are coming. The geula achrona, the redemption that comes at the end is going to be far greater than Yitzhak Mitzrayim. To the point, shelo yomru odin el mondoga say, chay Hashem asher helo mi eretz Mitzrayim. What are they going to say? Chay Hashem, we're going to swear by the God who brought Jews back to Eretz Yisrael. And he says that's for three reasons. Vizemi gimu tamin. Sheshom hayitem be'eretz achat. V'oz yeh me'eretz sofon mikol ha'aratzot. He says the difference between Yitzhak Mitzrayim and what's unfolding, has unfolded before our eyes, is then he took all of Klal Yisrael from one land, from Mitzrayim, and he brought them to Eretz Yisrael. That was a cinch. That was simple. Esar Makos, you know, little Kriyas Yamsuf, you know, he brought them all, he had them all together in Mitzrayim, and he brought them to Eretz Yisrael. All right? Sheshom hayitem be'eretz achat. V'oz, in this later period in history, which of course is our period, me'eretz safon, we call Eretz Yisrael, you're going to come back from the north and from all the other lands. And then further, where he says, Shahachatoim shavuram galitem l'shivud malchias, hayuchatoim gedolim, ashab abashel hidicham sham, the sins that you were committed then was so serious that God cast you out and pushed you out throughout the world. Like a person who casts out his son from his house. It becomes very difficult for a father then to bring back a child. It was a period of hidicham, a period in which he had cast them out. And the third thing the Malbim says, Shagula az tihye chashuva beinem yotem in hagula harishona. Sha'ov adayin lo yhoya Eretz Yisrael shalahem. When they went out of Mitzrayim, they didn't have an Eretz Yisrael that belonged to them. They went out from Mitzrayim into a desert, 40 years in that desert. Then they had to come and wage war. Va'ato, now what Yirmiyahu is talking about, this new period, kvar zochu bo'oretz, they already have the land, u'kvar yorshu otah, they've inherited her, shetigdal ha'simcha, the joy is great, im yoshuvu la'aretzom, when they come back to their lands. And that's why it says, this you don't have in the Gemara. The pasuk goes on to say, they don't bring the last part of the pasuk. Last part of the pasuk is v'hashivotim al admatam. I'm going to be bringing them back to their land, asher natati l'avotam, that I gave to their fathers. If this is not a description of what we have been zoted to see in our present day, I don't know how much better of a description you can have. These psukim fall into precisely the same category as many other psukim in Tanakh. I said it often, and I don't tire of saying it. I don't need any sophisticated proofs that Moshe Emes and Torah Emes. I don't need any ontological, philosophical, theological, cosmological proofs of the existence of God. Just give me a few psukim in Tanakh that were said 2,000 and 3,000 years ago and 3,500 years ago, and we can look out the window. I'm not even look out the window right over here. I don't know. And you can see people who have come from all over the world. They're here. It's unbelievable.
Where is that Malbim?
Malbim is on the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu chapter 17, Pasuk 14 and 15. These are the two psukim. And when you go to chapter 23, where these two psukim appear again, the Balaam says, Kvar Pirashti, I've already explained it in chapter 17. Chapter 17, psukim 14 and 15. So if I asked, why does Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah appear in the Haggadah? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is talking about something else completely. In our generation, you can't ask that question. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is brought here because within the folds of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, according to him, you mention Yitzhak Mitzrayim day and night, and according to him, it would seem you will not mention it La'atid Lavo. If we do mention it, it's because we pass them like the Chachamim. And either way, we do indeed. We're going to see the Rambam. I see we're not going to get everything I wanted to say today done, but all right. We have time. The important thing is that I am saying that maybe, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm too radical, but I would see nothing wrong with reading those two psukim in Yirmiyahu at the Seder. Hine yamin ba'im le'um Hashem. Lo yomu, no longer will they say, Chai Hashem asher hela, says Song Eretz Mitzrayim. Asher hela, v'asher hevi, me'eretz safon, u'mikol ha'arotzot asher hidicham shon. And he brought them to their land. It's a big chiddush. Let's go further. Come on. Go ahead.
So it says in this pasuk, this is, I don't know if it's true, but I'm just, it says in this pasuk two things. That God brings Am Yisrael, who are allowed, He makes people come on Aliyah. Okay. The Jewish people coming back there is Jewish.
He doesn't make them come on Aliyah.
No, they come on Aliyah.
Yeah.
And then the second says, Asher Eviyah, Zerah, Beit Israel, the Eretz Safona.
Yeah.
Safona. And we translated it as north, but maybe Safona could also have to do something with one of the Timanim of the Seder, Safon, which is hidden. There are lands in the world where there are Jews that are hidden, that they themselves are not sure that they're Jews.
Wonderful
they come back to.
Wonderful Hera. Okay. You know, I'm very... Okay, I'm going to keep my mouth. Yeah, go ahead. Kenny, you're taking me off into places I don't want to go right now. I hear what you're saying, but you're just all going to have to wait. Let's go further. Honorable Azam and Azariah. Okay, that was the one we just learned. Now we're next to the next. Next. Baruch HaMalkam Baruch Hu. Baruch Shemosan Torah Amo Yisrael. Baruch Hu. Kenega Avor Bonim Dibra Torah. Echad Chochem Bechad Rosha. Echad Tom Bechad Tzemi Yudei Elisho. On the first page of that God that we started with, on the left hand side. Okay, so here we come to the four sons. So now what I have been saying, that this whole section of our God is telling us the halacha of the mitzvah. So first of all, we are told that there's a mitzvah l'saper b'yitziat Mitzrayim. We were told that even kulonu chachomim, kulonu zekenim, kulonu nevonim, mitzvah, even the wise and the intelligent and the ge'onim and the gedolim, everybody has to tell the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim. We were also told that Kol Hamar Belasap Mitzrayim Haveze Meshubach. Now we're going on to the next section. The next section is, if I have to tell the tale, I have to tell the tale to somebody. So the Haggadah is telling us, you should know, you can't necessarily tell the same tale to everybody. You have to, this is great, you have to tailor the tale to the ones who are listening to it. What you can tell the Chacham, you can't tell the Rosha. What you can tell Chacham and Rosha, you can't say to Tam or Sheni Yedei Elisha. It's an extremely important message that has to be transmitted, and we have to make sure that the child or the one who's hearing the story is going to hear it on his level and understand it. So therefore, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, The Rav always says, Rav Soloveitchik always says, that the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Sifu, Yetziat Mitzrayim, is done via the mitzvah of Limud HaTorah. We are learning Torah. And I'm saying over here that we are learning all the halachos of Sifu Yetziat Mitzrayim. That's what, and therefore, since we're learning Torah, you have to say, what do you say before you start learning Torah in the morning? Birchat HaTorah. Baruch HaMoto. Baruch Hu. Blessed is God. Blessed is He. Baruch Shemosan Torah. La'amo Yisrael. We are now, as we begin to learn, we are saying Birchat HaTorah. Can I get a word about it? Chochom Ahuo. What does the Chochom say? What does the Chochom say? What are the testimonies, the statutes, and the laws that God our God commanded you? And you also tell him the laws of Pesach. And the simplest way to understand this is the laws of Pesach from the beginning until the last halacha, which is Ein Maftirin Achara Pesach Afikoman, that after eating the korban Pesach the night of the Seder, you don't eat anything afterwards, so that the taste of the korban Pesach should remain and linger in your mouth. What does the Rosh say? What is all these mitzvahs and these chumras and these matzahs and this mora, the whole business? What is this to you? So the Baal HaGadol says, Lachem? You, not to him. And since he removed himself, like he's standing outside, he has stepped out of the Jewish people. And I always feel it's important to know. Unfortunately, there are Jews who have stepped out and continue to step out from the Jewish people. The Jewish people is the story of the survival of the fittest. There are those who don't make it. There are those who step out. But our problem with those who step out, if they would step out and they would leave us alone, does that would be okay? But they step out and they turn into enemies of the Jewish people.
That's the problem.
Enemies of the Jewish people.
And
What? Very good. But your answer is, since he asks that he wants specific information about Eidus, Chukim, Umishpatim, then it's clear he wants to learn and not to reject. That he wants to know precisely, I want to know about the testimonies, I want to know about the chukim and the shvatim. He recognizes there, so therefore he says, you receive Torah, I want to have that Torah. I want to know everything I can know about it. Give me all the details. The Rosh doesn't say that. The Rosh simply says, the word zot also it represents something that I reject. Yosef makes his children swear, Pakod Yifkar Hashem Elokeichem, God is going to remember you, V'halitem et atzmotai mizeh. Get me out of here. Maha avoda hazot. Zot is sort of something that represents the idea of looking down upon faith. If they're unknown rapes Tamar. He says, Hoitziu et Zot. Doesn't even call her by name. It. Get her out of here. Maha Avoda Zot. Zot already represents a rejection and a denigration. And certainly when you ask that you want to know, if you're really rejecting, you don't want to know Eidus, Chukim, and Mishpatim. You don't want to know the difference between them. You're not even interested in hearing about Eidus, Chukim, and Mishpatim. Good question. Gave me the opportunity to answer. Okay. He has rejected everything. You also should. It doesn't mean knock his teeth out. We're not violent people. It makes them. There are certain things people always make a mistake about. It doesn't mean hack him ice the. I think it came from the Yiddish that they think. Give him a hack off the China. No, it's not hack. Hey means. Hack hey means to dull. Dull the sharpness of his remarks. Dull it. And tell him, just leave him with something to think about. Then Molo and tell him, because of this zeh that you have rejected, matzah, Molo, cases, because of this zeh, Osa Hashem Li, God did for me great miracles. In order that we should fulfill these mitzvahs, that way he did it. But say, Timi Mitzrayim, when I went out of Egypt, Li, here we're throwing back at him, Li, God did miracles to me, not to him. I think the not to him means, why doesn't say v'lo l'cha, to you? You know why? Because the Tat is not talking to this fella who just tried to ruin the whole Seder. You know? No, not him. Ilu hoyosham, would he have been there? Lo hoyonigal, he would not have been redeemed. Yitz Hashem, to be continued next week, soon today. It should be a week of Shalom al Yisrael.